What kind of podcast is this?
Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast.
For video games.
For video games. What am I supposed to say again? Welcome to season 3 of Bad Playstyle. This is our infinite spoiler warning. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear that Metroid is a girl. Or that Zelda's a boy. There, how's that?
Yeah. We swears a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that,
you say bad words.
You could send corrections to
badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Welcome to the show. I am Matt.
I'm Keenan.
I'm Owen.
Hi.
This is Bad Playstyle. We're a book club style podcast, but you already know that because you've listened to more than one episode.
Because you like us.
Because you love us. Hey, Matt, what did we play this week? Well, Matt, it's funny that you asked. We played RimWorld. That's a fun game. I know. But before we get into talking about that, we should talk about the stupid things that Owen did.
Oh. What did I do?
Shame!
I've been shamed.
So
I'm covering my face.
Your shame is Audra pillar colored.
Yeah, it sure is.
Do you want to...
Lumpy green dog turds.
Lumpy green dog turds from Barath.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain what the fuck I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You want to give us a quick primer of what went down?
So I think this is my first shame.
I believe it is your second, but
I'm not willing to commit to that.
That's a deep gut feeling. I believe, although
I am not willing to commit to that.
as shame boy. I have a deep memory that I can't fully articulate here that tells me that at some point you've called out yourself.
Okay.
Before.
Well,
Okay.
I feel like there's something you owned in the shadow of much shame in my direction. So, the shame is a long story.
Okay.
3 years ago, I received my backer copy of Pillars of Eternity and put 100 hours into that game and got almost to the end of that game and dropped it for, like, more complicated reasons I don't need to go into.
Video games, they're like the tide.
Yeah.
Especially The Witcher 3.
I put off playing it for 3 years now. You know, I had a feverish month when I first got it.
Yeah.
Haven't touched it in 3 years. The sequel is announced on Fig. I back it on Fig. I also buy like a big.
Owen, I feel the need to.
You back something on Fig.
Yeah.
So
it's just weird.
Like, I feel like this story needs to be told in the fashion of the dolphin fucking shaman from Venture Brothers. I see the game on Fig. Yeah. I fuck it.
And I buy like a big physical copy of it that even comes with like a textbook world guide.
Okay.
Yeah, but those world guides.
Yeah, that's a fun book.
Well, also, like, I have a box coming in the mail with a DVD, even though they already gave me a fucking code. So, like, because I guess I want to pretend it's the 90s.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
And so I get a code. So it comes out. I back it on Fig and it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that I install it, on my hard drive, the sequel to the game I have not finished. And it has like an import feature where if you have an end game save, you can import it into the new game and it keeps all your stuff. So like I have like...
Which I heard is not working properly yet, but anyway.
Yeah, well maybe it's...
You're in luck!
Yeah, maybe this is all Aelithos.
Minor shame, net gain!
I installed the game and then as like a way to motivate myself to finish the original game, I spent $30 on DLC for the first game. And have started playing it again.
That's White March 1 and 2, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, like, in a very roundabout...
Which are fantastic, by the way.
Anyway. Yeah. So, in a very roundabout way, I've spent, like, more than $100 on
Pillars of Eternity
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but my thing here is I feel the need to point out, and this is all feelings-based, but I have, I have a deep sludge... in my soul that tells me that you will finish these games.
We're going
We're
going deep.
I'm back on the Pillars train.
Okay, and I have a deep sludge in my soul that says that that's not true about other people sitting in this circle right now.
That could be.
No, whatever. The $60 games you buy, you don't frequent.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Own that.
When I booted the game up, it
I bumped, first of all, I just bumped the difficulty all the way down to tell me a story mode. It's like, I just want to knock this shit out and start the sequel.
Sure, you just want to experience it.
I just want to feel the content.
And then, like, when I booted it up, the game's like, oh, hey, plot hook for DLC. Like, do you want to travel to the DLC? And I was like, sure. And when I did that, it pops up this prompt that says, like, we've noticed that you're very high leveled. You're very over leveled for the DLC. Would you like us to bump up the difficulty on the DLC? It's like, oh, hell no.
Nah, bro.
So, like, I'm like this extra step of overpowered, of just, like, running around caves, kicking over ogres, and, like...
Yeah, there's a lot of ogres in White March 1.
I met some NPCs that I absolutely don't need in my party, and I've taken them into my party and made a very suboptimal party configuration.
Just experience DLC content?
Yeah, just because I want to meet these people.
Yeah.
I got, like, a cool robot, and she doesn't have a real name.
I love Devil of Carrick.
Yeah, she's cool. And I got that dumb guy who hangs on a fish barrel.
Zawa?
Yeah.
Zawa is awesome.
Yeah. Like, I was super down with his thing, like, as soon as I met him.
His voice actor makes me feel good inside when I listen to his voice.
Yeah, yeah, he's...
And then he's constantly talking about self-inflicted pain and drugs, and I'm like, ooh, I like you.
Well, and, like, when you meet him, he, like, is talking about how... The reason you found him in a barrel of fish is because he wanted to destroy his own vanity. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as you're talking to him and you're like, dude, why are you covered in fish? And he's like, well, it's to destroy my own vanity, blah, blah, blah. And two women, like, walk by and, like, give him, like, look. And he's like, ah, yes!
It's working!
Yeah, I love his whole thing of, like, he just totally wants to destroy himself.
Yeah.
Like, when they first were like, the monk class is all about taking damage and then doing abilities with that damage. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's dumb. And then Zawa made it cool.
Sure.
Right? Like, talking to him, I was like, no, I get it.
He provided reasoning and flavor to this thing you didn't like.
I get the thing that you're doing. Thank you.
He's putting himself on the path to self-annihilation.
Yeah. And then, like, same thing happened with the Cypher lady, Grieving Mother. I know you haven't dealt with her, but, I was like, Cyphers are dumb and complicated, and I don't get it. And then I had Grieving Mother, and I was like, Cyphers are awesome!
They're supposed to be, like, psionics?
They're emotional psionics, right?
Okay.
And they have a lot of powers that nobody else has access to.
Okay.
Right? Like, a lot of their stuff is completely different than the way, like, wizards and priests work.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, I am not at all engaging with the mechanics of the game at this point. Like, I'm definitely, like, running into a room and just auto-attacking shit to death. And then, like, sometimes if shit gets heated, like, I don't know, use your stuff.
Use the thing.
Yeah.
Use your abilities, kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that.
All right. That was a little pillars aside.
Okay. Keenan, you haven't talked much. What are you playing?
What am I playing? I'm still messing around with HOTS.
You got back into that. What, like... You maybe mention, like, what's the state of that game?
So they added a couple characters, and they're kind of doing the, like, tooling it back down to where it was. Without,
sure. So they're doing the whole, like, mobile
cycle. Yeah, so they added Deckard Cain, and he's kind of cool.
Oh, what does he do?
He drops potions.
He's like a support, right?
He's a support. He drops potions.
That's cool.
And he has this cool, like, big AoE stun where he draws a big triangle on the map, and then anyone in it when it's done is stunned.
What's that called?
I don't know.
Because one of his abilities is called Stay a While.
Yeah, one of his ultimates is a 180 degree arc that everyone in that arc gets put to sleep while he tells them
dope.
The story.
That's good.
It's really good.
That's good.
And his other ult is like a big fire tornado with books coming out of it that hurts you knocks you around.
Does he have one about the Herodric Cube?
He has a slow that a cube appears above your head. Like, it's all thematic.
But does he say, you have quite a treasure?
I'm sure
cube.
He does.
So, in Diablo 2, the way you empty your Herodric Cube, like, if you just want the things in there to not be in there, is you throw it on the ground, and then the inventory of the cube is dumped out onto the ground. And then when you pick up the cube again, I believe they fixed this at one point, but for a long time...
He'd just say the one line.
No, every time you pick up the cube, the game treats it like you picked it up for the first time. So the next time you encounter Cain, he'll be like, oh, you have quite a treasure in that Herodric Cube. And then he tells you crafting recipes for the Herodric Cube.
Nice.
But they're all shitty ones, like, you can turn two quivers of bolts into a quiver of arrows with it and shit like that.
Helpful. I mean, like, cool, but no. So he's in the game now, and they've done some tweaks to characters, and there's some reworks coming.
So there's two new characters.
Phoenix came out.
Oh, okay. We talked about him already.
Yeah, we talked about how he's a disappointment, that he's not a disappointing zealot that turns into a murder drinker.
Yeah.
Everybody's always like, Phoenix is a dragoon, and I'm like, well, but he was a shitty fucking zealot.
The whole first half of the game, he was, like, a kind of okay zealot, like...
Yeah.
What if he has an ability where his psionic blades flicker out because he forgot to put new batteries in them? Or whatever the fuck is supposed to have happened in that cinematic. Like,
yeah.
Like, you remember that in StarCraft 1?
Yeah, and there's, like, no explanation, and then he gets jumped by Zerglings.
Yeah, like, is that just a thing that happens to Zealots? Is their psionic blades, like, break?
It happens to everyone, Phoenix, we swear. No, I
never saw that happen to my Zealots.
Exactly, that's my point.
Well, isn't shit supposed to be powered by their brain or
something? Yeah, it was an ED joke, man. So, yeah, and then I've been playing more PUBG with my friends when I have time.
Yeah.
I've been playing on the test server with the jungle map.
Yeah, it's
pretty
neat. Yeah, Sonok is a hell of a map.
It's Savage.
It's not called Savage.
Savage.
It's not called Savage.
I'm doing a joke.
UNATCO.
It got a name. And all the things in it got names, too.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's really small, so the games are quick, which is neat.
Yeah. I was playing it last night, and, like, I think, like, with how small the map is and with how dense the cover is, mm-hmm. like, one thing that kept happening to me last night when I was playing with friend of the show, Sean.
The glue?
Yeah. Not the glue. Don't feed into that. He gets high on us calling him that.
He gets high on glue.
Yeah, Sean gets high on glue. Is that, like, we kept just, like, fucking walking into, like squad sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like, there's so much cover that, like, that tree has three people behind it, and you don't know it.
Well, and then, there's, like, a squad all around you.
Yeah.
And you don't fucking know it. And so, like, I was talking, like, it may be that when we play this map, we need to fundamentally change the way we move in the map.
Yeah.
Like, we need to move way less aggressively. Mm-hmm. And, like, or like, get moving sooner so that we can afford to be moving slowly and carefully.
Right.
Because just, like, time and time again, like, we just, like, walked into people waiting for us.
Yeah.
And, like, we didn't know they were there. Like, we walked into a place, checked it out, and was like, okay, let's loot and, like, get situated. And, like,
then as soon as you're comfortable, they pop out and kill you.
That map may take some, like, reconciling.
Yeah.
The way we play the other maps versus that map.
Yeah, because we play like shitheads.
Yeah.
We
play like the Tremor Brothers.
We do. That's, yeah. And then I played a lot of RimWorld.
Yeah.
RimWorld is probably, like, 80% of the games I played in the last 2 weeks.
Cool. Cool beans. I replayed Tacoma with developer commentary on, but I'm not going to say anything about that because that's
gonna do that later.
For later.
Yeah, we're going to put up a bonus episode.
Yeah, we're doing a bonus for Pienius.
Bonus.
And then I demoed Stellaris for a friend of mine. That was cool.
It's a good game.
She was like, I don't have time to play games, but show me Stellaris. And I was like, you don't want me to do that.
Yeah.
Because you won't have time for everything else.
Yeah.
Stellaris
and
is a paradox game.
I started showing her the alien race creation, and she was like, ooh. And we started showing her the game, and yeah.
That game simplifies so many good things about those games in a good way, for the most part.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that it's the, you know, when it's the historicity, right? Like, it's, so with any other Paradox game, you're plopped into an already existent, like, political situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Stellaris, it's a traditional 4X game. Everyone starts with one planet, right?
Yeah, and you don't know anyone. Yeah.
And you don't know anyone. So it's...
You don't have to figure out what the connections are because you just make them as you go.
You're using Paradox-esque systems...
In a game where you start from zero.
But yeah, in a game where everyone starts on a level playing field. Whereas...
Unless you have that checkbox checked.
In normal play... Like, and that's why the Ancient Empires exist.
Yeah.
It's for the reason of, like, if you're playing a guy in the HRE and you're not Austria, it's like, that's what that play is, right? So, Yeah. I didn't play anything of note except RimWorld. So, Owen, what's up?
I've been playing Pillars of Eternity, apparently.
Yeah.
Played Star Trek Timelines more.
Yeah.
I got some dumbass characters in
there. Yeah, that last couple events
I got
real
Quark's
dumb.
Mom in an event.
Yep.
And she's holding up a bar of Latinum, and her name is Profitable Ishka. I don't know, that game's stupid.
And Moogie's in the game now, too.
No, Moogie is mommy in Ferengi.
Okay.
So, like,
okay.
They call her Moogie, she's Ishka.
Okay.
That's her name.
Got it.
Oh, you just reminded me about my Ferengi movie idea.
You tell.
Yeah, no, now we need to know.
Okay, so it's
Oh, right. We talked about this.
It's a Deep Space Nine prequel. And it's about Quark's father, Keldar, who is like an awful businessman.
Sure. That's like, why Quark is in the position he's in.
Yeah, and why Rom is an even awfuler businessman.
Yeah.
And so it's Gilbert Godfrey plays Quark's dad.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Who else was in it?
Quark. French Stewart better be in it.
Yeah, we could put French Stewart in it.
That would be my choice for Ferengi.
Yeah. But like, and Danny DeVito's in it.
Good.
Danny DeVito's like maybe Keldar's like crappy business partner, who has like maybe even worse ideas than him. So it's Gilbert Godfrey and Danny DeVito. But like, here's the thing: is like the movie's
just automatically Frank in my head.
I think that the DeVito character should have good instincts and good opportunism, but have zero interest in stewardship.
Sure.
Right? So, like, he starts these things, and he keeps starting these things, and they're good ideas, and they draw people in.
Yo, Keldar, we're gonna start a shuttle dealership.
Yeah, exactly. and then he's like, here, Keldar, you run it.
And
yeah.
Keldar runs all of them into the ground.
Onto the next thing, the next venture that he's spending all their capital on.
And so, but like, here's the thing, though, is, like, the whole movie's theme is the failure of capitalism.
Okay.
Because that's like a big thing in Deep Space. That's like the story arc of the Ferengi in Deep Space Nine.
Is like their whole system's built around this, but also that's not good.
From an outsider looking in. And also like their whole society transforms at the end of that show. Sure. Like, spoilers on a 30-year-old show. And so like,
damn it!
Also the movie is not about Keldar. Like it is on its face. Like it's called like Keldar. Slip Strips, Bars and Bricks, a Ferengi story.
So let's wow. Hold on. I just need to bathe in that.
Damn.
Yeah. But I just need to quickly just in case people haven't watched other episodes or read other episode titles, the ethics of the Bad Playstyle podcast, which is that DS9 is good.
Yeah.
And Voyager is bad. Sucks.
Yeah.
That's anyway, literally continue. The name of the episode.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. It's like, on its face, it's about Keldar. Like, his name's in the title.
Sure.
And, like, he is, like, theoretically the main character we're following. But, like, here's the thing. Is the movie's actually about Ishka, his wife, who's actually a very good businesswoman, but by Ferengi societal customs is barred from conducting business and has been doing so in secret for, it sounds like, a while. That's like one of the big things in Deep Space Nine. And then also
she's like shadow brokering.
Yeah. And then also like her sons are growing up looking up to Keldar and not to her.
Who's a shithead.
And so it's her trying to like raise her sons to not be shitheads like Keldar, but like she can't, or at least
society won't allow
or at least there's enormous obstacles to her doing so,
such as her love of Keldar.
Yeah, exactly.
And like his standing in society.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is their standing.
She does the best she can, you know, like she raises Rom to at least be a decent person, even if he's like a fucking worse businessman than Keldar is.
This is like reverse Goodfellas.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah. It's like Dragon Ball, but from Chi-Chi's point of view.
And it's great because even though all the actors have, like, aged, like, fucking 25 years, they're all Ferengi, so you're just burying them in rubber anyway. So, like...
Well,
like,
any wrinkles would just add to the experience.
Well, the Negus could be in it. You could put Wallace Shawn in.
Yeah.
And you could make him look younger because you're just making new Negus makeup for him.
Okay, cool.
Should, who's the dude from Ghostbusters?
Dan Aykroyd?
No, the Little Shop of Horrors guy as well.
Oh, Rick Moranis?
Yeah.
He doesn't act anymore.
I know, but like he was talking about getting back into it.
Yeah, I mean, his kids are all adults now.
So you put Rick Moranis in there?
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be a good
Ferengi. He'd be a good Ferengi.
Yeah.
He'd probably be down for it, too.
It's fun to sit and think about which actors would be good Ferengi.
I want Goldblum as a Ferengi.
The thing is, he's really tall.
Yeah. Also, like, he wouldn't vocalize it, right?
Yeah.
He just wouldn't.
I think Jeff Goldblum should be in the movie, but not be a Ferengi.
Okay.
Like, I think Jeff Goldblum should be, like, a fucking, like, Vulcan merchant.
You play such a
weird Vulcan. You. That's all you need.
No, you have an aside where the other Vulcans are like, why do you stutter when you speak? We don't do that. And like, all Vulcans are trained to enunciate correctly. And he's like, it is a business tactic. It makes them trust me. Yeah. Underestimate me.
I'm a novelty to them.
That's great. I'm happy we had that.
All right, I need to go talk to Rick Berman.
Yeah, hold on. Pause the podcast.
Is Owen going to hand us the podcast this time so we can go talk to Rick Burns?
Yo, Rick!
Hey, yo, Rick! All right. So this is the reiterative spoiler tag.
Yo.
There's no story in RimWorld, but...
Yo, but we're about to spoil the shit out of our stories.
It's on the Doom agenda, so I have to say it.
Yeah, no, but we already spoiled DS9, so
Union rules say...
It's good we're warning that we spoiled
DS9. You get
DS9
a 15-minute break, and you gotta tell the audience about the spoilers. Alright, so RimWorld, what the fuck is this game?
It's Dwarf Fortress in Space.
Space!
Like, frontier, western, kind of Firefly without any authoritative structure space.
Yeah, yeah, because it has, like, did you guys read the fiction primer that comes with the game?
No.
No, I should. That sounds rad.
So it does, like, a Burning Empires-style story, where, like, there's been these empires spanning across the galaxy, and a bunch of them have collapsed, and a bunch of them are great. There's good planets here, and there's bad planets there, and there's, like, no unifying structure to them.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
which is how it's really gonna go.
That's why you run into like super soldiers and cryo sleep in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so like you're on
those
one
assholes.
And so like there's the glitter worlds.
Hey, I'd make them join my fort anyway. Yeah.
There's like the glitter worlds that are like nice cyberpunk Coruscant, you know, city planets filled with neon lights,
laser
and
swords,
pop
and
drugs,
and hover cars. And then there's like the fucking doldrums on the rim where you are.
Because it's RimWorld.
Yeah, and so, like, the world you're in is, like, dotted with, like, wreckage and things like that from whatever civilization was there before.
Does RimWorld exist in a similar universe to Heat Signature?
I don't know. Heat Signature's universe seems like it has its shit together.
Yeah. Heat Signature seems like it hasn't experienced an apocalypse-level event of that magnitude.
Yeah.
And that it has better communication tech. RimWorld's big problem seems like it has like sort of subpar FTL and subpar communication tech to allow for that sort of like feudal diaspora going on.
Yeah,
because like I just made an orbital beacon and it's like that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
you talk to ships every now and then.
Dude, that thing's awesome.
I'm not denying that, but it's like
the bulk goods trader
this
comes?
Doesn't change our lives in any way.
I don't know, I think it
changed my lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I built my orbital beacon, we started making real medicine.
I haven't gotten
route.
Any ships to show
and
up yet.
People so. Actually want to buy medicine.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also, like, the bulk goods trader I mentioned, that's the good way to buy nitromamine or whatever to make the
for medicine.
Yeah, because they just bring assholes on
also,
it and sell it for
the
dirt
the bulk
cheap.
Goods trader, I can be like, dude, hey, you want some beer?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, how much beer you have? I was like, I have 1,000 beer.
He's like, yo, I can move that.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I can move that beer.
Well, also, you can go to the bulk goods trader and be like, yo, do you want literally anything? It's like, do you want 400 pairs of torn up pants?
My llama's been making wool, bro.
Yeah. or like, I sell the bulk goods trader all my the little amounts of leather I have that are too small to make anything, and I was like, yeah, I have 12 squirrel leather. Fucking great.
Which is literally from like 12 squirrels.
Yeah.
So it's not even worth like holding on to.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting like on a weird aside.
Whatever. Before... This is what we do.
So like the game like very much draws its inspiration from Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about is Owen, you have mentioned to me more than once since we've had this period that there is a deep sludge burning inside you of many things you want to say about this game. So this is your opportunity to just like let loose.
Yeah.
We'll riff off of you.
Yeah. So
you have things to say.
So it's like a management game. You get people you can sort of indirectly control.
I think people who are familiar with the podcast are familiar enough with what Dwarf Fortress is, right?
So, it's like a game that is like trying to be like more approachable Dwarf Fortress.
Which I gotta say, I really fucking appreciated.
Yeah. So, no, it's
more UI heavy and less.
It's the best attempt I've seen at that because there is like a small cottage industry of games that are like, yo, what if someone made Dwarf Fortress more palatable to a wide audience?
Literally more palatable.
Yeah.
Get it? Yeah.
Yeah. there's a number of these games, and not all of them are very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, Nemoria.
Ooh.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a call out.
An entire tree.
Damn. Anyway, this one is the one that does it good.
Yeah.
But not... Like,
not great.
It's hard to get to the granularity that Dwarf Fortress has at times.
Yeah, like there's like this enormous legacy that Dwarf Fortress is like built on.
Yeah.
Can we talk about nitromamine?
Yeah.
Right now, is this the time to do
that? Sure.
Okay.
Let me do a thing that builds to that. But like one of my bones to pick is like Dwarf Fortress. Like one of its great like foundational strengths is its proc gen world.
Everything is diegetic.
Yeah. It has this, like, enormous clockwork world that it generates for you every time. And RimWorld like, gestures at that and sort of does that. And then, like, also kind of cheats at it. And I don't mean, like, it cheats like it's training to beat me, but, like, it's, like, it is positing that it is behaving this way. And from what I can tell, a lot of the way events happen to you just happen to you based on your storyteller and, like, RNG.
And how far you are into the game.
It's as though Dwarf Fortress has 100 sliders and RimWorld has 10.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like, Dwarf Fortress has all this stuff to randomize around to make everything feel different each time, even when you've gone to similar places, whereas RimWorld is like, if you go to Tempered Forest, there's going to be wolves, there's going to be llamas, and there's going
to
be...
I don't think it's to the point where we can point at RimWorld and say, you are a hollow facsimile.
No, exactly.
Right, yeah. It's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, like,
it's just not as specific.
It does a lot of good stuff,
but you were saying it, like, itches at the back of your brain.
Yeah. And, like, it also makes me, like, it's like the first time you get killed by a cheater in PUBG, and every time you get, like, snap headshotted by someone, it's like, is that a cheater?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I have to see the death cam. You watch the death cam, you're still not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, and you feel that way every time someone just snaps you off. So it's like, anytime just, like, some dumb shit happens.
It's the asterisk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like whenever Galen or Brian play each other at board games and one of them wins, they always joke about the asterisks. Like,
yeah, because someone didn't follow the rules
like
a perfect way.
Yeah, yeah.
In a tournament way.
Yeah, and like, to them it's a joke, but it's a good, like, metaphor for what we're talking
about. Yeah. And so like, when shitty things happen to me, I always feel like I can't trust that it happened because of the clockwork world that I'm existing in, or if it's just the storyteller. The storyteller's, like, basically a difficulty slider you can fiddle around with.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can say, like, hey, I just want a base build, or hey, I want raids to hit me.
Right.
And that kind of shit.
But it's
like...
It's
kind of the way the difficulties, like, in Civ worked, where one just outweighs every... Like, hey, you want a lot of pirates in this game? Right? Like, that type of thing. Like,
well, it's like, in Dwarf Fortress, if you get a lot of, like, goblin invasions, it's like, well, I was a bonehead for not checking if there was large goblin civilizations around.
And didn't build my defenses adequately.
Yeah, but in this, it's like, the raid is based on... Not if there is a raider civilization, because there always is.
Yeah.
And then the size of it is based on how long you've been playing and what difficulty you're playing at.
Well, and I believe how much wealth is in your base. Mm-hmm. They can, like, psychically sense how much your base is worth. Mm. Because, like, I was getting, like, nonstop raids for a while when I had, like, a big backup of money. That, like, I was just... Every time I would interact with a trader, I would just have a come up of, like, 2,000 silver.
Mm.
And, like, that went on for a while.
Mm.
And, like, the raiders would not leave me the fuck alone until I, like, spent my money.
Mm. That's...
And that's, like, my own anecdote. I don't know if that's, like, a causal relationship.
Sure. But the very suggestion it unsettles
me. And it's that thing I was talking about where, like, I feel like I can't trust my... I can't trust my experience there. Because, like, I...
The asterisk.
Yeah. Like, that said, like, we're dogging on this game, but, like, I actually love this game. It's great.
And, I mean, that's just the Doom agenda says the bad first, before the good.
And I guess the only other bad thing I want to, like, really harp on with it is the fucking hotkeys in that game suck. Like, you have to click through menus almost all the time.
It's the opposite of Dwarf Fortress, because in Dwarf Fortress, you just learn hotkeys and stop remembering what they mean.
What you were telling me, like, it's almost there.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It and has them.
Yeah, like, you have to click open the different menus, and then those menus have hotkeys.
Yeah.
If it was one or the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, in, like, Dwarf Fortress has Byzantine menus, but once you learn them, you just, like, belt out key combos to do a thing.
Yeah, I remember, like, for those of you who didn't listen to the Dwarf Fortress episode, I went, hey, how do you do this thing? I don't remember. That's muscle memory at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I have to think about it when you ask me, like, how I build a bed or build a bridge. You know, it's like, okay, it's B, G, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to actually read that instead of just do it.
I want to talk about, neutrophilamine. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, like, another, like, contrivance in the game is that, like, you can't, like, you can make herbal medicine in the game, which is, like, crappy medicine, and you can make good medicine out of that medicine, but only if you get this item, and you can't make this item. You can only buy it from other civilizations.
You can't even, like, high-tier research how to make it.
No. And it's, like... It's just, it's a contrivance to force you to, like, trade with other people or raid other people.
Sure.
But, like, where the fuck do those people get this shit? You know,
yeah, like, and it, like, it goes back to, I always try to ask this question. There's a really great YouTuber that everyone should check out, Mr. B-Tongue. He has an episode about Fallout 3 versus Fallout New Vegas, where he asks the question, where do they eat?
Yeah.
And it's like, Rivet City doesn't make any fucking sense the instant you ask that question, whereas Vegas, they have a fucking farm.
Yeah.
There's like nothing to do at. It's a location that doesn't really give you anything.
Yeah. Except right? It gives except them
for,
food.
Except for an in-fiction reason where these people are getting their food from.
It makes the setting real.
Well, and where do they eat is an important question whenever you're building a setting.
Yeah, exactly. But, right. But that's Mr. B-Tongue's point.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the developer is not asking themselves or the game... Or the game world, this type of question is a disservice to the end user.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, and that's how I feel about Neutronomine, is the big question for me is, where the fuck are you getting this?
Yeah.
Right? Because if Neutronomine was literally the last thing on the tech tree,
yeah,
it wouldn't bother me. And then there's the other thing of, like, you know, other villages, those aren't, like, mapped out. They don't have, like, a way that they exist. They don't have an internal economy.
I think they do have their own internal map, because if you attack villages...
Oh, okay. If you zoom in on the map, you can see, oh, okay. Like, there's structures.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Maybe I didn't get close enough.
Well, like, when you send a caravan somewhere, it'll give you the option, visit this town or attack this town. And if you attack this town, I believe you actually... go into it and control your dudes and whatever. But, okay. Like, yeah. No, I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's not obvious from the outside how those things work, because there's nothing surfaced for you to understand it, right?
It just...
You can't look at it and say, they have 8 farms, they must make farm stuff.
Like, I'm really liking this metaphor. I'm feeling the asterisks on that one. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I shouldn't be feeling. Fuck you.
Hey, cool things about this game.
Yeah, what's
it's
good?
A great game.
What's so, good?
Like, now that we've dogged on the game a ton, it's actually a fantastic game.
Yeah. Like, those are our gripes. But, like, I played 21 hours of this. I looked it up, and I played 21 fucking hours of this. In a time where I'm literally running 10-hour days at the coding boot camp I'm at. So that tells you how much I like this game. Like, it's one of the only games I've played.
Which I'm going to plug, again, the practice of getting on Discord and playing single-player games next to your friends.
Yes. That was great. De-stressing for me in the last few weeks.
Yeah, that was a good time. We were all talking about, hey, I got this pyro running around setting fires.
And yeah, we all have that, like, one guy.
Always like, hey, he's no big deal, just have someone follow him around.
Yeah.
Well, and like, we were all sharing the, like, I got this one fucking guy who does this one thing, right? Like, the whole time. So the game, like, randomly generates people for you, and you can...
I love the systems of how it puts people together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, how some people are like, oh, I'll pick shit up.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't farm. I don't farm.
You don't eat.
Fucking Italian job, most deaf.
Yep.
I had a bad experience.
And then, like,
And then their fucking backgrounds. Like, I had a lady who was, like, my chief miner.
Yeah.
And you know what her background was?
What?
Medieval torturer.
Hell yeah. So she's blank torturer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking rad.
I have a guy whose name is Clumpster.
Whoa, but what's his full name?
Well, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. His full name is like Von Bismarck or something like that.
Clumpster Von Bismarck.
So, all your pawns, which I believe you're supposed to call them.
That is what they're called, yeah.
We'll say it'll have their, like, last name or whatever, or, like, their name, and then a comma, and then, like, whatever their, like...
Adult profession was.
Yeah, their backstory profession. So Clumpster is... Clumpster, comma, weirdo. Clumpster was an artistic weirdo as a child, and then, like, a wandering weirdo as an adult or something like that. He's also a night owl, so he never meets anybody.
Which is, like, beautiful, because I don't know if you guys have ever worked night crew anywhere.
Yeah.
But everyone who works night crew has the trait weirdo. Like, it's just a thing.
So I got, in one of my games, I got my first night owl.
Yeah.
And the night owl was... First of all, from space,
uh-huh.
And came with no clothes,
uh-huh.
But then was a nudist.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
And so
that guy knows what he likes.
Good luck in the winter, buddy.
We have a dude who comes out at night and cleans the entire base in the nude.
Naked, yeah.
With a fucking chain shotgun.
And everyone just kind of puts up with it, right? Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, he's awake.
It's 9 o'clock, I should go to bed. The naked guy's out. Yeah.
Like, if you see Swingin' Dong, it's time to go to bed at Matt's Fort.
Yep. Swingin' Dong with chainsaws. Strapped to its back.
Well, this is the night owl.
No, he has a shotgun.
Yeah,
sorry.
He has a fucking
semi-automatic shotgun.
Yeah, he has a semi-automatic Kalashnikov shotgun. Yep. Like,
I had so my weirdo. It worked out really well for me being a night owl, because he was also like one of my best crafters. So him and the other crafter worked opposite shifts.
So they wake up and they aren't waiting.
Yeah, and so the crafting bench was just always in use. And so like we're always making like miniguns, or we're always making components and shit like
or
that.
Clothes like, or whatever you need. That's good.
Well, clothes is tailoring.
So,
but we just built a bunch of tailoring benches because.
So this game, its systems are just obvious enough from a programming standpoint, which is where my brain has lived lately, to be, like, interesting on that level, too, while I play it.
Sure.
Because the way you, like, prioritize jobs and things is, like, literally the character just has a list of things he does, and, like, thinking about the way that's structurally built behind the scenes helps me manipulate it more.
Well, that's, like, it's a large part of the meat of playing this game is manipulating that particular, like, slider.
I pulled up a YouTube tutorial the other day, and they were not using the number priority workload, and I was like, what the fuck are you... Don't play this game this way! Like,
I don't know, I played... about half the time I played this game, I hadn't turned on the number priority. And it was, like, kind of annoying they didn't have it on, and, like, once I found out, my life got a little better. But it wasn't, like, a huge deal.
Well, and ideally, like, you have people that specialize anyways, so it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I ended up playing quite a few games because I decided the permadeath button was a cool idea.
Yeah.
So, I was going to say the, on the list of, like, the workload thing, it's, I really liked that the game made me feel like there was a definite feeling of relief and stress relief when I got my fourth person.
Yes.
And
yes,
like
three people is hard enough to juggle all the things you need.
Slightly less of a feeling when I got my fifth person, and it's like a diminishing return after that, right?
Yeah.
But it's like there's this definite, like, audible almost, like,
release. There's a tension that's
like,
there.
Oh, cool.
So, so like actually, that's the thing I want to talk about is the scope of this game. Like, Dwarf Fortress has a cap of 200 dwarves in your fort. And, like, that's, like, a cap written in the game. And you can actually change it. But, like, that's the cap. And, like, if your fortress runs long enough, you will just have 200 dwarves. That will just happen.
It just happens.
You will just get migrations on the reg, and you will get 200. Like, I played this game for 60 hours and running the same game for pretty much the whole time. And, like, I got up to 21 people.
Yeah.
And, like...
So it makes you care about the individuals much
more. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, in... The another, forgive, what's the guy's name again?
Tynan.
Tynan, forgive me for making so many comparisons to Dwarf Fortress, but you brought it on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, like...
So, like, in Dwarf Fortress, they all have, like, backgrounds, like in Rimworld, and you can go look at them, and they do affect that dwarf's behavior and mood and things like that.
And, like, their skills, right?
But you got so many fucking dwarves, you never have a chance to look at them.
Yeah.
It plus, it's, like, three menus deep, whereas when you look at a character in this
game,
and
also,
you
it's, like,
once
an unreadable just
tab.
Wall of text, too. Yeah. Like, Toadie's made some effort to make that thing more readable, but it is rough trying to read a dwarf's, like, thoughts and feelings. And also, like, the backgrounds of your pawns affect them in such a profound way. Whereas, like, in Dwarf Fortress, like, this guy just likes copper mugs, and if he uses copper mugs, it makes him happy.
But this dude over here refuses to do social or caring.
Yeah, or this guy's a misogynist, so all the women in the base hate him.
Mm-hmm. Because he says rude shit to them all the time.
Can we talk about Peter?
Oh, yeah. So, like, so the game generates, like, way better story, like, individual personal stories
about
your colonists.
Like Crusader Kings style.
Yeah.
Right? Where you have an individual relationship with a character in the game and their personal struggles
and
stories.
And the way they interact is based on their traits.
Yeah.
Right?
So Peter is one of the oldest colonists in my colony.
Is he one of OG3, or...?
No. Only one person's alive from the original three.
Okay.
That means even the dog died.
Oh, damn.
But he's one of the very early recruits we got. And so Peter, when we got him, was, like, 73 years old. He is gay. He is incapable of violence. Also, he's the only gay man in the base. Over all the years, we have gotten no gay men. And
he is,
like,
the only one.
He has the abrasive trait. So he's very grouchy. And
he's the doctor, right?
Yeah, and he's, like, a phenomenal doctor.
What a fucking character. Like, that's straight up, that's movie grade character.
Yeah, yeah. He's like Doc Cottle from Battlestar Galactica if Doc Cottle was gay.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know, maybe
which, like, would be absolutely inconsequential to the way that character functions on that show.
Yeah, so he's like Peter has, like, no fucking friends. He
likes to drink, right?
Yeah, he was an alcoholic, and, like, fucking ruined his own liver. And then I, like, banned him from touching alcohol. And
because you can do that.
Yeah.
There's a menu for that.
He's pretty good about it, though. He doesn't go in binges when he gets upset anymore. He got malaria at one point.
And this dude, you mentioned that he was your doctor, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's like a super good doctor. He's like, the skills are on a scale of 0 to 20, and he's like a 15 in Damn. Doctor, which is like yeah. really good.
That's like Glitter World grade.
Yeah. And so the next best doctor had to like grow up real fast because Peter was bedridden and Peter was in his 70s, which like affects how well you recover
from things.
How long
it takes to recover.
So everyone in my fortress, I'm going to keep calling them fortresses. Everyone in my fortress
is... let's call it what it is.
Yeah. Everyone's required to only use herbal medicine just because that's the one we can easily make. And we have good medicine in the back. Peter's the only person that by default he's allowed the best medicine because he's the good doctor. You can't let the good doctor die.
Yeah. So you were explaining to us earlier that when Peter had malaria, you literally took a dude off of all other labors and you said, Peter is your job now.
Yeah, yeah. The other doctor, Scott, I disabled all of Scott's other jobs and he just tended to Peter for like a third of a year, because Peter took forever to recover from malaria.
Also, mind you, this implies that Owen has a lot of people, because if you only have four people, you can't afford to just put someone on one of your people
So here's the thing, is that this story is one of the few in RimWorld that has a third act.
Also that.
So Peter...
That's not getting killed by muffalos or raiders like
when Peter recovered from malaria, he was so... upset having spent so much time in his own fucking hospital that he had a mood break and just like went into a daze and started wandering around, and I couldn't figure out what to do, and he was starting to get hypothermia from wandering around, so we threw him in jail because that's the only way you can like force them to stop doing that.
Jail is warm.
And then Peter spent half a year in jail. He just didn't want to rejoin the colony. And just was in jail, and people would come talk to him.
Wait, you mean you're going to feed me in here and people talk to me?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so he was not able to be our good doctor. Thankfully, Scott learned a lot tending to Peter and everyone else, especially during Peter's malaria bout and being in prison. Finally, after like a year from Peter getting sick with malaria to recovering to getting... Like a year
since... pro wrestling storyline.
A year since his malaria infection, he finally decides to rejoin society, and gets a fucking flu, and does the same thing again. Goes into a daze, gets thrown in prison, and dies of his flu because he's fucking 80 now. And, like, no amount of medicine and treatment from Scott will save him.
What was his name in parentheses next to his age?
Oh, I don't know.
I've been wondering if that affects things, because sometimes you'll get someone who's like, they're 40... but their actual age from when they were born is like 460 because they were frozen
a lot. Oh, I know what you're talking about. He's 166.
Okay. And I'm wondering if that like actually affects
his,
anything.
His subjective age is 80. His objective age is 166. And I had a couple other like weird ass stories. Like this guy Trofim in my base. He had like a freak out and he walked the long walk out of the base out to the cemetery and dug up someone's bones.
Oh, you should talk about the statue too.
Well, one of these happened before the other. Okay, I'm getting to that. He brought this dead person skeleton who died like years ago up to the entrance of our base and then recovered from his mood break and just dropped the skeleton on the front steps, which I was pretty peeved about. So I told Trofim to pick that skeleton and put it back where you got it, asshole. And like Trofim's wife divorced him. Trofim's wife was one of the original colonists. Mm-hmm. Trofim's dog, he adopted the... Trofim was also a very early recruit. He adopted the dog that we got at the beginning of the game. His dog is also dead. We had a rough patch. So, one day, Trofim goes into a mood break over, like, something not important. and he goes over to our cemetery, and over at our cemetery, there's an enormous statue that one of my guys built. And the statues in this game are developed... or are generated much like in Dwarf Fortress, where, like, it just sort of tells you it's of, like, arbitrary imagery and, like, events that happen to you.
But it's usually about, like, somebody in your fort.
Yeah, it's like an event in the history of your base. And the event that was picked by this sculptor is not when Trofim's dog died, but the time Trofim went to go visit his dog's grave, and there is the image of a ghostly dog hovering behind him. So Trofim goes into a mood break, goes up to the cemetery, looks at this statue. By the way, it's a of poor quality. So it's like a fucking ugly ass statue of him mourning his dog, and he just smashes the shit out of this statue of himself that's at the cemetery, and then like chills out and like.
Owen told me this story, and I said, if there's anyone who's allowed to do it,
yeah.
You just give it to him, like, yeah, bud.
And yep. All right. Like, I wasn't like really mad because
that's
like
the way he processed.
It was a poor quality statue. Like, all right, man.
Yeah, I got plenty of those.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so this game generates, like, good-ass stories.
So, speaking of good-ass stories, and I mentioned how I've been playing on permadeath, because I'm a sucker for those modes.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been save-scumming anything at all.
That's not a good way to learn
it's
a
tough.
Game like this.
I've gone through a few forts. Yeah. The current fort I'm on, though, I'm pretty proud of, because we got 4 people, and then we lost 2,
so,
and we're back up to 10!
The night that I first jumped on and started, like, taking this game seriously, the very first thing that fucking happened was, I'm not really paying super close attention in the Discord call, but Keenan asks Owen something about Muffalos. and then, like, a few minutes later, he's like, whoa, Muffalo killed my guy! And then a few minutes later, oh, Muffalo killed all my guys.
Yeah, no, I've had some really rad instances where, like, a whole herd of pack animals gets mad and kills everybody.
Yeah.
Because when you have 4 people and they all have handguns...
Yeah, and they don't have good guns.
Guess what happens? The deer fucking win.
Yeah, that shit goes bad.
Fucking emu war.
Well, and, like, you'll get that thing where it says, like, Muffalo Revenge or something like that. And sometimes that's just the one Muffalo.
Sometimes it's the whole pack.
And yeah, that's bad if they all come at you.
My current base has seen some shit. We cracked open a pre-existing building in a mountainside, and there were 4 coffins in there that we still haven't fucked with. They're 4, like, space sarcophagi.
Oh, cool.
That I presume has, like, total badasses in them. But also in there was one of those fucked up robot centipedes with a super pew-pew gun.
A centipede in there?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So we, like, ran back to base and we built some sandbags and we're like, fucking shoot the shit out of that thing! And, like, literally 5 of my 7 people go down fighting this thing.
Yeah,
so one of them drags everyone back to base, and the other one takes his shotgun and starts can opening this thing so it dies.
Wow. Shotguns, huh?
Well, like, we incapacitated it.
Sure.
And, like, we had a shotgun, and then I'm like, you grab that and kill that.
Because, like, I just fought a centipede in mine for the first time, and I had, like, 7 dudes with LMGs and miniguns unloading on that thing.
Yeah, no, we have bolt-action rifles.
Dude, the LMG SMGs. In that game is a DP-28.
Yep.
I love it.
It's great. Yeah, and then recently I figured out that I like turrets when they aren't near each other.
Sure.
So what I've done is I've built a steel wall because I had way too much steel and no components, so it's not like I'm gonna make anything with the steel.
Make a component bench.
I haven't researched that yet.
Yeah, that's
so.
That's crucial.
So that's important. I made a wall around my entire base that is just steel because fuck it, why not?
I've been thinking about doing that with plasteel because I dug up a ton of it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't actually... There's not a lot of things that require plasteel.
Right.
You can just make them out of plasteel by choice
right.
if you want them to be better. It's like, what if we just make the city out of plasteel?
So I put up this wall, but there's a mud patch in part of the area I've claimed.
Oh, yeah, you told me about your little murder...
Yeah, so there's this terrible mud patch, and I'm like, well, okay, I can make this work. So I move all the gun turrets that were covering the corners of my base before to 3 squares away from the edges of the wall, so they can't really shoot outside of the wall, and they can't get shot from outside of the wall. And then I just wired them up and put sandbags in front of them.
Nice.
So anyone who walks into the Swamp of Sorrows in front of our base immediately gets slowed down, and then the turrets all fire up and shred
them. Some tower defense shit.
Yeah, so by the time you get through the turrets and or maybe break one and finally start fighting my people, they're all at the sandbag with rifles shooting you to pieces.
Nice.
So my guys literally fight like a third of who attacks us and then goes and fixes one turret and we're good. Which is pretty neat.
Yeah. I have not progressed as nearly as much as you guys have up the tech tree. I've played for quite some time, but I think my base is just a lot more chill.
Crack out some research, bro. It's so good.
Well, like, we're doing research, but the research guy... So my latest base, I accidentally embarked with 1 total points in social.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's tough.
It wasn't that bad, but the big thing that was a problem was that 2 of my people were prohibit hauling.
Wow. That's a tough
hand. This is some expert mode.
We got 5 people pretty early because we had someone fall from space and then another person show up with a raider.
Oh, okay, cool.
And we couldn't convert the raider, but we sold him.
Sure.
And then everybody gets along for the most part, except for the person who fell from space doesn't like the person who was getting chased by the raider, because the person who was getting chased by a raider is an android with creepy breathing.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, I love your android.
Android with creepy breathing. He is assigned to live outside the base 8 hours a day,
animals. Do you think that means that he has gross mouth breathing, or do you think he just sounds like Darth Vader?
I think that he...
How does this manifest in your mind?
The character's pawn is... not massively broad-shouldered, but somewhat broad-shouldered, and he has...
He's like the Triangle Man.
He has the BioWare hair. You know what I'm talking about? The little floof in the front. He has the BioWare hair, and he has blonde hair, so I'm imagining Fassbender from Prometheus.
Okay.
That's what I'm imagining. But then I'm imagining Fassbender from Prometheus, whose nose does not work. And who has maybe, like, an artificial breathing situation going on. This dude used to be a spy.
So. He's like an AI spy.
Oh yeah, I found one of those cryopods, and when I opened it, we found an unconscious AI spy.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
The only person in the fort that that he gets along with is the super soldier that we pulled out of the cryosleep.
Nice. Game recognized game. Is that...
Both of them have
my super soldier is such a pain in the ass.
They have double fire and over 14s in shooting. I don't remember what they're exact.
Damn.
So both
of them have our best guns and live outside the fort mining and shooting. Nice. Those are their jobs.
And then when someone shows up, they get to be in the fort for a minute?
No, they actually just go deal with it.
Nice.
So my storyteller is Chillax, so thus far, when stuff comes, it's like one angry dude with syphilis and a pipe, right? And he's like, I'll kill you, and I'm like, you're addicted to smoke leaf. Like, I have a fucking, LMG... and Fassbender is... And the other guy, the super soldier, they're both programmed to shoot anything on site that's aggro.
Sure.
So, as soon as they see stuff, they're just like... They both have LMGs. One of them I accidentally gave a incendiary launcher to.
He
shot an angry raccoon at point blank once. And that was, no good for him. His girlfriend had to come get him, who also no one likes. Yeah, that must be why that's happening.
My colonists are, super, torn up, because playing 60 hours on the same base, you get attacked a lot of times.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's all your best shooters get downed many, many times over the history of your base. So
my Sam, doctor and best shooter has one eye.
Yeah, so Sam, my best sniper, she can't hear worth shit out of both her ears. One of her eyes is gone. Her other eye has scars on it. And she doesn't have a nose.
I love it. Her vision category is very poor, and her hearing category is poor.
Yeah.
And the way Owen has made her combat effective is by giving her a minigun.
Yeah, give her a minigun, because she's still got, fucking 15 in shooting. Even though she can't see for shit.
So, I have, everybody in my fort wears, the cheapest hat, the, Gilligan hat.
Okay.
Except for one dude who has a bowler, and he's my cook.
Okay.
And he gets a special hat because he literally has not stopped cooking since the fort was, enacted.
Oh, man.
And he just literally cooks and fills our fridge with food, and that's all he does, literally, 8 hours a day, every day.
It's one of my favorite things to do in Dwarf Fortress, and it's one of my favorite things to do in this, is, pick one job that you like having done all the time, and pick a guy whose only job is to do that.
He was one of the guys. There was two guys. There's two fat, ugly dudes, and one lesbian were my original drop.
Sure. Right?
And both fat, ugly dudes were like, I don't like talking to people. And the lesbian was like, I am capable of speech. Right? So she was the de facto lead.
Can I tell you about our...
Well, let me finish describing this trio of fucking idiots.
Yeah, man.
Right, and then the first person to run out of the woods on us was an extremely fat, extremely ugly, non-sociable woman who immediately started hitting on both of the fat, ugly guys who don't like speaking to people. She immediately had this enormous mood hit because she's constantly being rejected by the two fucking ugliest dudes in the world.
can I just say, when we are saying that she's ugly, we are not passing judgment.
No, it literally says ugly.
Yeah, she literally has a heinously ugly trait.
Yeah, they have that trait. So I have a staggeringly ugly person in my fort. They're also the best speaker in my fort. And they're
really overcoming the negatives there, bro.
Yeah, well, no, it gets worse. They also have the trait misogynist.
Oh.
So they're really good at pissing off women that they meet. And we have, like, a second best speaker in the fort who's, like, deaf as hell. So she takes penalties when she talks to people. So it's like, okay, oh, a caravan has entered my area. Let's see. Let's find the merchant in the caravan. Are they male or female? It's like, oh, don't send postman. He's going to say some fucked up shit to that woman. send Lynn. She can't hear for shit. But like,
she won't call her a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Postman's gotten in so many fights. Like, when he gets mad, he just punches women and gets the shit beaten out of him.
So the first notable interaction that my AI spy had with his future wife was to beat her up shortly after breakfast. Like, she arrived at the fort, I had just finished making her clothes, which is like a multi-day endeavor.
God, I hate that so much. And I can't keep up with the tattered clothes. Yeah. I can't keep up with the tattered clothes.
And so, like, people are going into breakfast in the mess hall, which is also the research laboratory.
Sure.
And they're leaving, and just as these two characters leave, I didn't exactly see what happened, but I look over, and AI Spy is just punching
Isn't that always how it is, where it's just like, you just notice that, like, either someone is fighting someone, or someone just got the shit beaten out of them.
And they're just fighting. Like,
it's the kind of thing, too, that,
like, caught it early, because everyone's standing around, and so I arrest her, and then, it, like, pretty much as soon as she got out of prison, they got married. It was really...
So, that's because the game does this weird thing where when people fight, there's a thing that happens to them if the fight finishes.
It did not finish.
Okay, well, if they don't have weapons on them, I let them fight. Because what ends up happening is they fight it out of their system, and they get, like, a catharsis buff, and suddenly they're friends. It's, like, dumb middle school shit. We're like, I put that guy in a headlock, and we're friends now, right? Okay. Like, it's that shit. Yes, that's actually how I have a friend, but, And so, like, if they don't have knives and aren't fucking stabbing each other open, it's fine with me. Like... Because they won't use their guns against each other.
Oh, I wanted to mention the lesbian who hates people in my original drop. She was the only one who was allowed to haul things as well.
Yeah,
And she has the one social. Her nickname, which was the name that she goes by in the game, I don't know how to pronounce this, which is weird because I'm usually pretty good with this kind of thing. But her name is Sluate.
Sloy?
I don't know. I just called her slut the entire time.
Oh, boy.
Like, mentally, like, internally.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a rough name, man.
I couldn't pronounce it. But, yeah.
So, yes, listener, this game does generate stories.
We've been talking about it for a while. We should...
So what kind of awards does this game get?
Oh, some. But we talked about the themes, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about losing is fun.
Yes, yeah, it's survival and crazy shit.
Is there any writing that we want to talk about as far as, like background stuff like Glitter Worlds and
I
stuff.
Apparently missed
I
that.
Love the names on the bulk traders as they freight by.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all really good.
I don't know. I didn't read all of the fiction primer. I like dipped into it a little bit.
The meme generation in general is pretty
anyway.
Good. Anyway.
Also, it has the thing where you can pay money to put your name in the game.
Oh, yeah.
It has like one of those...
it's like literally a DLC on Steam.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you buy this thing for $20, you get to add your name to the pool.
Anyway, unless anyone has anything else to say about this game,
Room World's cool if you're into this shit, play it.
Tynan, you have made an incredible game. I'd say it's top tier.
Yeah, top tier, but we have notes.
I mean, like, there are notes, and I understand,
Rimworld 2 is gonna be a banger.
The
1.0 side.
Like, it's not...
The next version's 1.0.
It's not mystifying to me why some of the decisions we had gripes with were made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there are...
Especially when it's one person making it, right?
There are reasons I can understand why he made the decisions he made.
Well, and also, like, the thing we're comparing it to, Dwarf Fortress is, like, this weird edifice. Like, Toady has been working on
Dwarf Fortress... For, like,
15 years. 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he's been working on it for, like, 10 years, and it's... all he does as a full-time job.
Right.
And his brother. We shouldn't just say Tarn Adams. It's Tarn and Zach Adams.
Right. So, first of all, it's two people.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're in a strange mood.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, for sure.
So, I was having a conversation with Keenan the other day about wrestling, because Keenan really likes wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was saying that the promotion that you're semi-affiliated with, 321 Battle, should sell fake VHS tapes that are steel-plated.
Came up with that detail today.
That are diamond-plated steel, because their thing is when you say solid steel.
Solid steel!
About everything. Yeah. And Keen, did you have any wrestling things to say?
Wrestling things. There was a very scary wild man at a wrestling show I went to this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
And he murdered the crap out of the most annoying guy in the ring. It was very good.
Oh, I thought you meant like a fan got drunk and started like hitting their spouse or
it's
something.
It's like basically one step removed from that in a wrestling context. Yeah. It was like...
Basically wrestling Tarzan happened.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
I encountered a person... Have we talked about Blarp on this podcast? The VR game?
No.
So Blarp is...
That game's cool.
Blarp is cool, right? It's like...
What is Blarp?
I feel Blarp is worth, like, a couple bucks, right? It's like a...
Isn't it free?
Is it free? Whatever. It's amazing.
Hey, guys, what's Blarp?
When you're in the... You got the headset on, mm-hmm. right? You're in a room. There are, like, moons outside of the area you can walk to.
Okay.
They're, like, floating at different points in space. And, actually, there's only one at any given time if you're actually in the game.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different game.
And then you have two wands. You have... one wand is a shield.
Okay.
And the other one is... an attractor. And what it is attracting...
Oh, it's that game.
And you can see, like, lines, like, dotted lines going out to them are eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you hit the button, if you're holding down the button, the eyeball goes towards the attractor. And you can block it with the shield. But the idea is you use this knowledge of, like, where the eyeball is going to go, because you know, and if you let go, it'll stop going towards it and, like, continue on its momentum.
Right.
You use that knowledge to hit the moons with the eyeball that are outside your chaperone. Right?
Right. You Olay it into the moon.
Yeah.
I think I was thinking of HALP. There's a game, H-A-L-P.
Oh.
It was a VR game.
Whatever. Anyway, that game is incredibly hard to, like, explain.
Yeah.
To somebody. I had a person who was, like, in VR, and they were like, I want to see some VR shit. And I was like, Blarp's pretty simple. And I remember when your girlfriend played Blarp the first time. She was in.
Well,
no, because the thing I wanted to note about that was not that she was immediately, like, all in. The thing was that she normally gets, like, nauseous in VR to a limited extent, but there was no movement to it, and she immediately played it for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I couldn't get her out of the damn thing. Right? And so that
was... Wait, one more.
Yeah. Wait, one more. She currently holds the best score in that game, which is irritating to me.
Because she hasn't played it since.
Well, that's not why it's irritating to me. I'm just a competitive butthole. But, that, like... So, anyway, yeah, that was an experience that I had with VR. That I wanted to share with you guys.
I watched a friend play some Gorn on the internet today, and that was pretty great.
I have heard that a member of this podcast has been working on a video game that's not real and never will be, starring Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have an unrealized video game dream.
Okay.
All right, so it's a Spider-Man game. You get that sweet MCU money.
Okay. Yeah, buddy.
So,
Yo, Disney.
This is a game where you don't play as Peter Parker.
Okay. And I'm listening.
You play as a photographer for the Daily Planet.
Bugle?
Or, the Bugle.
Okay.
Whatever.
Fuck Superman.
The superhero newspaper.
Fuck Superman.
Yeah.
I don't want to take photos for Superman.
So, the game is called Spider-Man : Get Me Pictures of Spider-Man.
You're the photographer who actually does it, not Peter Parker.
Well, no. So, like, hold on. So, first of all, like, the game is, like... The core gameplay is Pokemon Snap, but instead of Pokemon, you're taking pictures of, like, Vulture and the Scorpion and shit like that, and then, like, occasionally...
Spider-Man shows up.
So you finish your missions, you go to Jonah's desk, you throw the photos on the desk, and he looks at him and he's like, oh, these are good. Parker, your stuff's crap. You know, except that...
I'm gonna go jack off.
Except that, like, somehow every time you're assigned to take pictures of Spider-Man, Parker gets, like, way better pictures of Spider-Man? Yeah. He gets, like, way better pictures than you. And so you go,
so
like...
So Peter Parker's the villain?
Well, so it builds to that. It builds to that. Because, like, how does he do it? And it's like, of course, we all fucking know how Peter Parker gets great pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's a fucking asshole.
Peter Parker's a goddamn cam whore.
But it's like Pokemon Snap, but like Pokemon Snap, you're
no
like...
No offense to cam whores.
In Pokemon Snap, you're like on a fixed track usually, and you just see things that jump out. In this, it's like more about the traversal of the city. So, like,
You hop in a cab.
Okay. You hop in cabs going up elevators and office buildings.
So there's, like, various methods you have to, like, push and pull with your ability to take photos. Yeah,
because the people you're taking pictures of inevitably can run and jump and fly and spider swing and whatever. And so it's like you as an everyman trying to catch up. And so my idea for, like, the crux, the end of the game, the big climax is that you snap a picture of Spider-Man with his mask off. And that's like the brutal last decision. Is like, so this guy's been fucking your shit up.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he's a cheating bastard.
Yeah.
But like, also like Spider-Man, yo. Like Spider-Man saves lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe have Spider-Man save his life, like the main character. Well,
this is like a Walking Dead decision.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, do you give Jonah this picture? Because like, if you give Jonah Spider-Man's secret identity, you are made. Like, Jonah will buy you a fucking mansion.
He'll buy you a yacht. Easy. Yeah.
He'll buy you a gold-plated yacht with gold-plated biddies on it.
But you know that if Spider-Man's identity gets out, like, people will hound him and kill his family and shit. Mm. So it's like,
Aunt May is toast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Mary Jane's done.
The other thing that game needs is at the end, when you do that, if you say yes, there's like a 50-50 chance Jonah even buys it. Like, you photoshopped this.
Like, get out of my office, kid.
that's bullshit.
And what's the name of the guy who played Spider-Man or played Jonah in the movies? Is it J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, you just need him.
So he has to voice it. Like, yeah. That's like, when I'm pitching this to a studio, that's like one of my hard rules. Like, I will walk out of this meeting if you can't promise me to get J.K. Simmons to play J. Jonah Jameson.
Let's
and do the mocap.
So, yeah. Do you remember my idea way back in the day for the Battlefield Hardline level of rarity commercial variant?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this idea?
Oh, the animation stuff?
No. So you remember in Battlefield Hardline, there was the thing, like, every 10,000 reloads, there was, like, a mean time to happen. You'd get a funny reload on a gun. Like, you'd throw your gun off screen, and then a third hand would come in and, like, hand you it. Or you'd, like, have to crank the clip in there, like, three times, because it was, like, three times too long, but you can't see because it's off screen. Like, that kind of bullshit, right? Like, so that level of rarity of when you finish the game, Jonah doesn't believe you and does the ha-ha-ha, you're serious meme. At you.
It'd be good.
Alright, cool. Yeah, just like I wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, no, like I want there to be a chance where Jonah's just like, nah, dude, we know you hate Peter. You just did this.
Well, because like in the age of YouTube, in the age of like that kind of thing, like you need to start doing stuff like that where it's games as event, right? Rather than games as single personal experience, like elements of. Games as event, games of, like, rarity of event.
Maybe Jonah's belief meter goes down as you antagonize Peter in front of him. Right? Like, in those meetings, you're like, this is fucking crazy, how'd you do this?
The thing is, I think even Jonah wouldn't be able to resist it, because it's, like, his deepest desire. Yeah. Like, he gets to fire Peter.
Yeah.
It's, like, booming business.
Yeah, he hates Peter.
And he hates Spider-Man more than Peter.
Yeah.
Like,
if you fire Peter, you fucked both of them.
Yeah, and that's gangbusters business for the people. Yeah. Yeah. Also, Peter's, like, probably going to die or go to prison.
The one time they unmasked Spider-Man, I was really excited, and then they retconned it, so.
Sure. Comics are stupid, people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer, because there was so much cool shit to do.
And like, it would also be a game that would be really easy to, like, do DLC for. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, so, like, hey, Black Panther just dropped. Killmonger's been seen in the city.
Yeah.
Go take pictures of Killmonger. Killmonger has a different, like, no. Killmonger just drives cars. Weird.
It's really great when Spider-Man Killmonger is fighting bank robbers,
but at the same time, he's just a black guy when he has a shirt on.
Yeah, or like Thanos shows up and like the Avengers are all there, and like turns out every photographer has pictures because they're just making a big superhero mess. So you have to find the weird picture, and that's the only one that'll get traction.
Because
like everyone has a picture of Thanos shooting a laser or whatever.
Everyone was there for that part, but you caught Ant-Man chilling on Captain America's shoulder. Yeah. That was really weird.
You got the photo
like
of
Pokemon Stop Snap Snap.
Nice.
Yeah. You got Nick Fury sitting on the giant donut.
Yeah.
Just thinking of, like, the Dead Rising photo mechanics. Like, how weird does it get?
Oh,
right?
Totally.
Like, it's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about likening it to Dead Rising. Yeah. I never played those games. So.
Can't anyone have anything else to say before we get to the Not Real Game Awards?
Because
I know everybody listening to the podcast right now is very excited about the Not Real Game Awards. And I want to get to them.
Let's do this thing.
Okay. Todd Howard.
Let's do it for the fans.
Mm.
None.
Brandon Chung?
One? I'd give it like one Brandon
one.
Chung.
One Brandon Chung.
There's some goofy ass shit in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing Tacoma today. Nina Freeman.
Probably zero Nina Freemans.
Yeah, it's not intentional attachment.
Yeah.
Didn't make me cry.
And it's not like... because all the characters are... Like, the fact that all the characters are proc gen is what makes me say zero Nina Freemans.
Okay, yeah.
Right, it's not like the game decided to make you feel that way. It's you decided to feel that way about the game.
Simon Vicklin.
This game has good music. I don't think it has any Simon Vicklin attitude.
It has no attitude, and it has no attitude in its music either.
Its music is good, and it gives it a good vibe.
We're batting 1,000 here. J.E. Sawyer?
Probably a zero.
Okay.
Just gonna throw that out there.
You got anything to say about that?
No,
because I feel like I agree with that. Jeff Bezos. I think, just based on the... Like, if we're going to take this award seriously... Just based on the whole burning empire's feudal bullshit, yeah. I would say one.
Yeah.
Also, Neutromine.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was that. Yeah, well, good. Mm-hmm.
Give it one, Jeff Bezos.
Okay, so here's the real stickler, I think, on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Tarn Adams.
Like, it's four.
Four.
By my own personal rules, I can't give it five.
Yeah. It's not granular enough for five in my
book. Well, so my line in the sand.
Not
is,
enough sand.
Enough sand.
Like, unless something really crazy happens, you can't get five unless it's that person's game. like in theory, only Tarn Adams should be able to achieve a 5 out of 5 Tarn Adams.
Mm, okay.
That's my personal rule I'm going to hold to.
Okay. I disagree with that rule in principle, but in practice I think I will probably follow it. Which is unfortunate. Anyway.
Jake Solomon?
Oh, yep. Also, I think just, through natural processes, that is how it will often play out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's how I'll do it.
I'm on the fence on 2 or 3 Jake Solomons. Sorry.
I'm going to give it 3.
I'm at a 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think we need to explain that.
Yeah.
We've explained the things we like that lead to Jake Solomon.
Where can they find us?
If you want to send corrections and game codes and screeds, you can send them to badplaystyle@gmail.com and dick pics.
Fuck you!
We're also on Twitter at badplaystyle.
Yeah. You can talk to Keenan and I, our social media managers.
Yeah.
I don't want you to show me dicks on screen.
Still waiting on Sean to do that.
So, a quick update on the Chicken Hat situation. The thing we discussed last time, where we are going to basically periodically throughout the show, if we feel like it, refer to the person by their earned titles. We can do that.
Okay.
Feel free to send us suggestions for earned titles. Basically, how this is going to work is if you have earned a Chicken Hat that season, for whatever reason, you have earned a title. You have to recite it at the beginning of every episode. You have to change your Steam name to that name for 3 months.
For 3 months. All right. And I get 2 to start with.
Yeah, Keenan owes us 6 months.
Or is it 2 for 3 months?
How you feel about that?
I think it's 2 for 3 months.
Okay. Because, yeah, that's how I'd lean on it.
And too, then is it up to me in the future if I get another one to stack them?
I mean, if you want... No...
I feel like it has to be immediate.
You don't get to dilute your own title with other stuff. Let's say you get a Chicken Hat next season. Mm-hmm. Or, you win the Chicken Cup or whatever.
Can we please get a Chicken Cup from the audience?
I should just make
it. Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be sick. Have it be, a fucking fantasy football trophy. So let's say next season you win the Chicken Cup, though, and, we decide, your title's Dick Butt. You don't get to diminish Dick Butt by, bolting on some shit, even if it was your previous titles.
Okay.
Now, maybe, on your job resume, you can list all the titles you earned. But, if you get the Chicken Cup...
So, I don't get to bolt them on whenever, but maybe I say them all at the beginning of the show? All my accumulated titles?
Yeah, if you're proud of that shit, then sure,
okay.
Man.
Okay, I don't know, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, if you're proud of the fact that you're a fucking asshole, go for it.
Dick butt.
So anyway, that's what we're going to do from here on out. That's the plan, because the video sucked, because we didn't really put enough effort into it.
Yeah. And because monetary penalties feel unfair.
Yeah, I don't really want to do monetary penalties. That didn't fly right with me. But anyway, that's what's up. Just as a real quick...
Honestly, the Steam name thing, legitimately scares me.
Especially when you have 2 lined up. The combo aspect is...
Well, because Owen owes us 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So, There we go. Oh, where can they find
we
us?
We did that.
We already did that. Yeah.
Okay.
I can talk about the next game.
Yeah, what is the next game?
So the next game is called Final Station. I did some digging around. It's been on my wish list for a while. It has two core gameplay pieces. The first one is you're on the last train in the world.
Oh, yeah, I looked at this. It's like fucking Snowpiercer.
It's
something.
Like Snowpiercer the game, but without, like,
it looks like Snowpiercer plus Deadbolt, and that makes me apprehensive because I didn't like either of those things.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, the combat seems less oppressive.
But we'll see. We'll see, because if it's not Deadbolt tier frustrating, I'll be happy.
Yeah, so the first gameplay element is that when you're on the train headed to the next station, you take care of the train and the people on it.
Okay.
So there's like some management shit in there. And then when you get to the station, you have to venture into the station, deal with any infected individuals who are in the station who attack you, and the end goal of being at the station is that you find a code to the next station for your train, as well as finding supplies and people.
The stations are passworded?
Yes.
Okay.
So, from what I understand, there's 5 stations, and there's narrative that happens in between, so it is a very, like, finite game.
Okay.
That's what I've found looking through reviews without finding spoilers.
Yeah, I looked it up on How Long to Beat today.
Okay.
What's the verdict?
It's like 4 hours.
Okay, cool. Cool, good. Yeah, I've been looking at it for a while because I dig its like pixel art style.
Okay.
It seems cool, and it's got cool music in the trailer. And yeah.
Okay.
So I'm excited.
So, at this point, if you don't want to hear me talk about CSGO pros and cheating, you can stop listening to the podcast. But I want to talk about that for a minute with my friends.
Okay.
On record. So
there's also another thing that kind of ties in that I'll add in.
To what?
There's a news thing that happened today.
Okay.
That kind of ties into this.
Cool. So, a while ago, I fell into a YouTube hole about CSGO pros and their, like, extremely high-level cheats that they use.
Those cool cameras you put on your head while you play CSGO. Sorry. Wait, you freeze that?
GoPros.
Yeah.
Eat this. So, like, they use these extremely sophisticated aim locks that are very hard to detect, and then the...
Like you were saying, like, they ship it in on their phone? And, like,
yeah, yeah, they put it on their phone, and all they have to do is have their computer be charging, or have the phone be charging off the computer, and it works. And there's other stuff...
It's diabolical!
There's other stuff, like, you can put it in your mouse. Like,
yeah, because you can load the software on your mouse.
The peripherals you bring to the tournament, people bring them all the time. And this is, like, a super rampant problem.
I heard there's a... this is like sort of an aside. I heard there's an airline that you know, like the glass cockpits in planes where it actually projects stuff onto the glass or whatever.
Yeah,
I've heard that there's airlines that have to format their glass cockpits every 6 months because their pilots charge their phones.
Oh, and they like drag shit in
on the cockpits, and just malware gets off their phones and the cockpit software. Like, so much that it's just like, oh, it's been 3 months. Format that glass cockpit and reinstall everything.
Holy shit!
Which is like terrifying to think about.
Well, anyway, welcome to Shadowrun without all the cool shit, guys.
Yeah. Fuck.
So,
welcome to Tacoma without the Orbital Workers Union.
I'm looking forward to the Tacoma bonus episode, by the way. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's a thing. And then apparently there's also a thing that's much more affordable that you can get on your phone or on a second monitor for PUBG that just straight up like tells you where people are in the game, right? And people use this frequently. And then I've been watching some videos. I started going down a hole on like PUBG, like streamers and stuff. Mm. And I saw a lot of very, to me, like, I'm not an expert, but it seems obvious to me when someone 180 spins 7 times in a row, all within 1 second, directly onto people's heads, including their teammate, that that's not, like, a humanly possible thing, even with 30,000
really
or 40,000.
And really good,
like,
yeah,
there's
that's
no,
not...
That's not a thing you can do. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I don't believe that that is a thing you can do.
Especially reliably, that I can see it in every video you're doing.
Yeah, sure, like,
you might have a good 100%. Day.
And so, I wanted to just talk about, like, with the rise of streaming and with the rise of YouTube as a source of monetary value and careers for people, there's a huge incentive to be always on, right? Like, it's no longer...
Which results in performance-enhancing software.
Right? Like, is what you... Because, you know, you just can't just mainline Ritalin all the time.
Well, also, in, like, PUBG's case... the cosmetics that you get in the game that you can sell for real, well, Steam money, are tied to your battle points, and you earn battle points by getting kills and getting chicken dinners.
Right.
So it's like a further incentive to cheat in the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's nothing new. Like, sure. That's old news.
Right, but
like,
in the context another of what
layer,
we're talking about.
It's just another layer of icing on top of
what I'm just saying there's this huge financial motivation for high-level streamers and high-level YouTube personalities and high-level esports personalities to be always on all the time. Uh-huh. And like, you can't have a bad day. It used to be, you know, your YouTube celebrities and your streaming celebrities were just people who were good at the game.
Right.
And it was okay for them to lose. But now it's not.
Well, and it's about to get worse because the Supreme Court today said that sports betting is federally illegal.
Okay.
So, esports is going to jump on that, right? Everything else is going
to
jump on
that. Does that extend to esports? I don't actually have a full...
It wouldn't... Basically, sports betting is legal.
Sure.
And there's not specifics about esports, so, like...
And isn't video games technically considered, like, an Olympic-level sport activity?
I don't know in the eyes of the
law. It's very easy to assume that this would end up happening after this, right?
Sure.
Where at that point, like, Overwatch League and these other things that exist could already be rigged, right? With what we're talking about.
Right.
But then the idea that people are betting on it, assuming it is not rigged, right? Assuming that, unlike pro wrestling, it is not already predetermined, when in fact it actually is, by way of who brought the better cheats.
That's the smart money.
Yeah, totally.
God, that's a whole fucking can of worms, too.
So anyway, like, that gets even weirder in the context of that decision being made today.
There's a whole Pandora's box here with the whole money aspect that is just... makes me very tired, and it might be the room we're in because it's very hot in here. But I'm like becoming exhausted.
For long time listeners, we're back in the oven.
Oh yeah, long time listeners from the Californium episode. All three of you,
all three episodes.
There was nine people.
Yeah.
Downloaded that episode.
It is our least downloaded episode, and it is the one that we have suffered for the most.
Jesus,
because we recorded it three fucking times
on a 100-degree day in my bedroom with all the doors and windows closed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that briefly.
Yeah,
and it's terrible, just like a
terrible thing.
It's a thing, and thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah,
I love you.
We do.
Welcome to Walmart.
I love you. Welcome to Costco. Yeah, I love you.
Go ahead.
Is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.